Okay, so we're going to end the share a little early this morning, because as the Hillel event this morning, it actually ties into what I was going to talk about in the parsha. There's many discussions of what was the purpose of the Eser Makis. What was the takeaway from the Makis? This is a very famous part from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The purpose of the Ten Makis was Kaviyoch Hashem's diploma that he runs the world. But a friend of one of his svarim points out, from quoting Rabbi Yochum Lubavitch, Rabbi Yochum Lubavitch points out that the lesson of the Makis was the way the Makis went away, not so much the Makis as they were going, but the Makis went away. They went away with one way. They went away through Tefillah. Each Makis disappeared. When Moshe Rabbeinu, thank, no, thank you. Each Makis disappeared. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem. And Rabbi Yochum Lubavitch writes that the lesson is that we, as the Jewish nation, forget the game for a second, we have to learn that when there's a tzara, when there's a tragedy, the key, the answer to that tragedy, how do you manage it? That's through Tehillim. Tehillim is our mode of dealing with stress and issues in our life. When a Jew needs a Yeshua, he turns to the Tehillim. My friend writes the story in the Sefer. He quotes the story from Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein was learning, and he got a phone call that one of his grandchildren was sick. And Ramosha closed the Gemara and started to say Tehillim. And he continued saying Tehillim until he got word that Baruch Hashem, the child, was doing better. You can imagine Moshe Feinstein in his life, he can accomplish amazing things. But yet he closed the Gemara and whatever he was doing to say Tehillim. So we know there's a certain kayach and a power that Tehillim has that is the Jewish way of dealing with tragedy and tzaras. Fortunately, today is the 100th day. It's hard to imagine 100 days already of this. It's very sad. But that's what we do. We didn't say Tehillim. Glad to hear that connecting Tehillim and Torah, I think from what I understand from the ad, they're going to be explaining Tehillim, which is Torah and Tehillim. Both worlds coming together, so it's like a very nice thing. So it's the reminder of the Eser Makis is, as we as Yidden realize, we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Tehillim, Tefillah. That is the only way we're going to get out of this very, very difficult tragedy and issues that we find ourselves currently now here and in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's get back into the sugya over here. We're going to try to see if we can finish one sheet today. Okay, short of time, maybe we'll get through one sheet. So let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Let's see the Gemara inside. We went through this Gemara once, but I want to go through it a little slower this time to make some interesting observations. Zokti Gemara, Shaul ben Almana achas es Reb Eliezer. One ben Almana. What does the ben Almana mean? It means he's the son of an Almana, which means he lost his father. We'll see why that's even important. Lost his father, he lost his mother. Either way, we'd call that today an orphan. Why does it matter how he lost, who he lost? So it says the Gemara, Shaul ben Almana achas es Reb Eliezer. So one day, a ben Almana comes into the Beis Medrash and asks Reb Eliezer. He says the following: Abba, mashkeni mayim. My father asks me to bring him a cup of water. Mayim. Mehem kaidem. Who goes first? So my later, Reb Eliezer answered back to him: Hanach kaveri mecho. Put aside the kaveri of your mother. Vasei kaveri avicha. And do the will of your father. Why? Famous line. We spent a lot of time talking about it. We had a lot of chakiras about it. She'ato ve'imcho chayav v'mochad avicha. That was a famous story where a ben almana asks this to Reb Eliezer. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Bal lefnei Reb Yeshua. Now, this ben Almana decided he wasn't happy with what he heard from Reb Eliezer. He wanted to take it to someone else, right? But how's it work? Six rabbis, six answers, right? He's not supposed to do that, right? Which is what's going on over here. We'll have to see. So both, Reb Yeshua, so he comes to Reb Yeshua, Amaloi, he tells him the same story. So what happens? Amaloi, kach Amaloi, Rebbe. So look in Rashi for a second. What's going on over here? Amaloi, kach, Reb Yeshua, heishavu, kederach, heishavu, Reb Eliezer. So Reb Yeshua answered in the exact same answer Reb Eliezer gave him. So he's like, okay, so the first rabbi got it right. No, he got it right. This Reb Yeshua answered it exactly the same way Reb Eliezer answered him.
Because it's really not a
Uh-oh.
Meister. It was
Could be theoretical. That's right. But we'll see in a second. Something's different. Because the first round, he asked the Kasha, he got his answer, and he moved on. Now with the next rabbi, he seems to be a little bit more difficult. What happens with the next rabbi? So he says to him, Amalei Rebbe Niskasha Mahu. He says, okay, Rabbi, what happens if they get divorced? And I asked you, Akasha, if you have two parents that are both married and each parent asks something from the child. And you told me the answer is dad goes first. And what happens if they get divorced? Now you notice he did not ask that to the first rabbi. He only asked this to the. So most people are like, okay, no, we get invited, right? But there's something here. There's something interesting here. Both of them, this. Why did he do this? So what did he answer him? Amalei, he told him back, from your Risei Enecha, which we're not going to translate in a second because we'll see, it's a Machloikish Rishonim. He says, but I could tell, Sheben Almana Ata, I can tell that you're a Ben Almana. And therefore, since you're a Ben Almana, none of this is Negei Halacha L'maisa, because you don't have two parents. Therefore, Hata Lehem Mayim B'Sefer, pour the water into a bowl, V'Kakeh Lehem Ketan Goylem. Let them fight over it like chickens. So now we'll see, as funny as this line of the Gemara is, we'll see there's a very big machlokes between him. Was this line a joke, or was this line halach l'maisa? Meaning, was he answering him, listen, you're wasting my time, go whatever. Did he just push him off? Or was he actually giving him a halachic response that the answer is, you need to put it in a way that they're both equally being respected? We'll see, she just was showing him like that. That no, you cannot show respect more to one over the other. So you got to put it equally. You step back and let them fight over the jug.
It's only Rabbi Yeshua.
It's only Rabbi Yeshua answered. Rabbi Eliezer didn't even get this far. So let's see Rashi for a second. It says Rashi number two, Niskarsha. He asked him, what happens when they get divorced? My mother is not obligated to honor my father after they get divorced. So if we remember, we had a share last week. We spoke about this Noi de Bihuda, right? Where the Noi de Bihuda had this possibility. Was the Noi de Bihuda? Yeah. The Noi de Bihuda had this possibility that the Shoyal said to him that maybe even after a couple dies, even after the husband dies, maybe the wife still has to honor it. Here we're talking about a divorce. So by divorce, we agreed there's no way that there should be any reason why the divorced spouse has to honor the other spouse. That doesn't make any sense. But by death, it was such a possibility. And that was a shoyl tying to the Noi de Bihuda that he thought, no, that when there's death and the husband dies, the wife still has a chiyuv to honor her deceased husband. Well, here we're talking about divorce. So what does he say back? Me being Risi and Echa. Sa'arois, Shabasurois, Kisoi Ayin. From the eyelids, the eyebrows, Nikarata, I could tell, Shahoisa Yosam. I could tell you're a yasam, but nishu risi enecha, and they fell off. Merabechi, I could tell from all the crying because you lost a parent. I could tell you cried so much that the hair fell off. Because of so much crying, it caused the eyelids, the eyebrows to fall off. Okay, so he says, right, shaben almon ato. You don't need this shaila maisa. You're just trying to hakachainik. Elalamid bossa, you're just coming to learn. So the first question that you asked me, I'll answer you. When they're divorced, they're equal. They're both equal. Now this is a big shaila. How to learn this Rashi? Elaloyim shnehem shavim alecha. They're both equal to you. So, but what do? I get it. When they get divorced, now you have totally equal responsibilities to father and equal responsibilities to your mother. So what do you do practically? What are you supposed to do if it happens? And we'll talk another next week. Crazy shailas that Reb Zilberstein has to deal with Kedarkei Kodesh. When you have two parents that are divorced and one asks you to do one thing and one asks you to do something else, what are you lamaisa supposed to do? And the Gemara doesn't give you an answer. The Gemara gives you some form of like a joke, but it doesn't give you a practical approach to what do you do. So we'll see. So he answers back. Maybe that's machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say you can do whatever you want, and some Rishonim say no, you can't. Because again, what's going to happen if you do whatever you want? Someone's going to be slighted. Someone's going to get ruined in the deal. Now you'll tell me what do you want me to do? Okay, right. We'll have to get that Blineder next week. We'll discuss this machlokes Rishonim Blineder next time. So let's just finish up. Says Rashi, hit the lemaim b'sefer v'kakeya karkul lahem k'mayshim karkim latan goyim like the chickens. Well, if you shalei hotzarch lasso, since you don't really need to know what to do. So Rashi's saying that the reason why the rabbi gave him such a funny answer was because the rabbi knew this was a funny question. It wasn't halacha l'maaseh question. Right? One thing rabbis have very little patience for is when people call them up with shows that are not practical. You know, it's not. Well, yeah, get to this kid. To for this kid, it wasn't a gate. Right. So I, you know, Eschat Ani Maskiyam, when I was, you know, learning smicha, so I would do this sometimes to call Rabbanim, and they were not happy when I called them. Like, it's not halacha l'maaseh. I said, it is a halacha l'maaseh. I want to know what to do in a situation if I get such a shayla. And they hung up on me. And now that I look back, they're right. That's not what they're for. They're not here to talk about your halacha, your theoretical. They hit a pasuk on a practical shayla. A person needs to know what does he do now. You want to know alumnus? That was the famous line with the Moshe Bick. Moshe Bick used to tell people a psak, and he used to ask why. He said, you want to know why? Ask your Rosh Hashiva. I'm telling you, this is the psak. You know, everyone has different jobs. You know, Rosh Hashiva's job is to give you all the pilpul. The Rav's job is to tell you what to do. The two jobs can't mix. I guess, right. So he wanted to know, you know, he came to halacha l'maaseh. Again, klal gadol dimmer. Whenever you're asking a Rav, a shayla, or, you know, especially now we have these hotlines, great ways of speaking, but they're not here to pilpul with you and learn. And then I learned that the hard way. They're not here talking and learning about lum this and this. They hear the pasuk in the shayla. You want to know the answer is the answer. You want to know why? Talk to them off hours. They'll explain to you why. So that's
maybe
the question.
Maybe he didn't
know. So that's what we got to figure out over here. So why? Here's the question. Why did he only ask the question of the Scarisha to the second rabbi, to Rabbi Yeshua, and not to Rabbi Eliezer? Obviously, this kid had an agenda, right? He wanted to get clear what the halach is. So the first,
because he knew he was an alma. He knew he was a betal. The kid knew that he was an orphan.
Right. So why do you assume
that? Because
so the first rav, he asked, what happens if they're married?
And he said, serve your father first, but my father's dead, and maybe you didn't
Good.
understand right,
Oh,
and
very good, very good, very good, very good, very good. Okay, good. Okay, let's see, that might be one of the answers. Very good. Oh, very good, very good. The simple answer is going to be is that Rebbe Eliezer gave him a lumdus. Rebbe Yeshua didn't give him any lumdus. Rebbe Yeshua told him a psak, Rebbe Eliezer gave him a lumdus. So once he heard the lumdus from Rebbe Eliezer, there was no reason to follow up. Rebbe Yeshua was vague. He didn't give him a reason. He's told him a fact. When you don't give me a fact, now I got to push you for a follow up. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll see that
I don't
pshat.
know that he.
And Achrami. But the reason why he was even pushing for it was because he didn't get clarity from his original question.
I didn't know that the mother didn't remarry and he has a stepfather.
Oh,
Got
good,
that.
good. That's also
And
Shaila.
then they got divorced in between.
We'll see. There's a sheet of Lanoi Delamida that actually learns the Gemara like that. Well, believe it or not, we'll get to that in a second. So let's just take a look at the Taisus Riazakin. The Taisus Riazakin writes, wasn't even main Rise, Kloime mitnu usecho v'enyonecho nikar shebekechat. Taisus Riazakin learns a different shot. He says, I'm watching you, how you conduct yourself. I see that you're very wise. Must be you're a ben almana. Pikechu, again, if anyone unfortunately lost a father, they can, I guess, appreciate this taste of Riazakin. As Riazakin said, when someone loses a father, they have to step up to be that role in the family. So he says, I can see you're mature. I can see how sharp you are. I see how, you have a certain amount of kaiches. So it must be you're a ben almana, beroiv shetoirach, because you're very busy taking care of the family support. So I can see like a maturity. So he learns, mebein rise, it doesn't mean from the eyelids like Rashi. But he learns, I can just see the way you're conducting yourself. You have a certain amount of, maturity, right? Something like that. But this is the kicker. We'll see this in the game in a second. Why? Because unfortunately, when the father dies, the son has to step up to the financial role in the family. So therefore, I could tell that you have that milah because you did that. Okay, that's a one more pshat. Third pshat is the shita l'noi d'lami. Wasn't me vein resein pirish v'fishiro ein of adumim min abechi. Nothing to do with hair, like Rashi, but his eyes were red. The hikishu ben almona, I could tell that you're a ben almona from all the crying. Like we know Leah cried a lot. And again, I could tell that you're a ben almona. This is not halacha l'maisa. This is just theoretical. But either way, we have three pshatim in the Rishonim. You'll ask me, why does it matter what any of these pshatim are? So I'll find a nice mahalach to why this makes a difference, why he was a nikish a ben almona. We have Rashi's pshat, something to do with the eyelids. The taste of Yazakin has to do with his demeanor, we'd call it, and then the Shita L'Oreh D'Lemi was his actual eyes were red from crying. Fine. It comes along the Shita L'Oreh D'Lemi with a Moridik of Pshat in the Gemara. Unbelievable Pshat in the Gemara. He learns that the case of the Gemara over here was like this. He says, V'ikad Amri, Dikashoyeshoyel Koidim, Mishum Bal Imoyhoyeshoyel. This kid was a Lomdishashayel. He was tiny like this. He was Taka Ben Almana. He lost his father, but his mother remarried. His mother remarried. So now he had a good teshaila. He wanted to know if my stepfather asks me for something and my mother asks me for something, who goes first? That's a lamed teshaila. Why is that a lamed teshaila? Because we had a minchas chinuch a few weeks ago with a minchas chinuch paskin. In such a case, the mom goes first. Why does the mom go first as a minchas chinuch? Because the only reason why you honor your stepfather is in respect to your mother. That was the chiddush of the minchas chinuch. Minchas chinuch said, if you have a stepfather and a biological mother, so avad the gemara makes a drasha, you have to honor your stepfather. It says the Minchas Chinuch, but since the stepfather is only getting covered because of my mother, so my mother goes first.
So why didn't he ask that to the first?
No, that's what he did ask. That was the first shaila. The Shita L'Oreh D'Lemi is learning that the first shaila in the Gemara was, notice that the Kash of Ben Almona, when he walked in, he said Ben Almona, and he said Abba Mashkeni Maim V'Ima Mashkeni Maim. Wasn't talking about a biological father, a biological mother. I was talking about a stepfather and a mother.
But then the second question, he goes Niskarsha.
One time was, no, Niskarsha means they got divorced. But that second marriage, the second marriage, got divorced.
Mother has to respect the stepfather.
Right.
You still have to, so you would then have to respect the stepfather over the mother? That can't be.
Look, we would have thought that when you have a stepfather and a regular mother, we'd say the same thing in the Gemara. I have to honor my stepfather. My mother has to honor her husband, i.e., the stepfather.
What's the premise of I have to honor my stepfather?
That's a Gemara. That makes it Drush. Yeah, no question.
But not because it's a halacha from the Torah, but it's because.
It's a Drush. The Gemara makes a Drush. The Gemara makes a Drush. You have to honor your stepfather. That's a Drush's Chazal.
It's not equal to Kaveda Sevilla Vesimacha. It's not the same category of
well,
honor. And if it's not,
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure I would say it that way. I would say it's learned from Pesukim like anything else in Pesukim. Meaning, so again, I have a chiv now to honor my mother. So that was what Moshe Weiss's argument that we had a few weeks ago. Moshe Weiss started drawing these hierarchies of, who's right. So he would say in that case, it's not a starter. But the Menachas Chinuch, we showed the Menachas Chinuch said very clearly in that case, you honor the mother first. Because for a different reason.
Because it derives from the mother.
Right, right.
Okay, but it's on a lower hierarchy.
Right, right, right.
I guess your father has to do something, your stepfather has to do something. Obviously, I presume you need your father first.
So according to Moshe Weiss's gather, I would think the father wins.
Right.
I would think so. I would think that, even though you can really argue they're both derivative from Pesukim, they're both drushes. Obviously, Kabbalah Sivicha is the highest of the highest, but this is learned from drushes. But yeah, but what's interesting about this is that if the Gemara had the Shaila, what was the Gemara's answer? That's not what the Menachas Chinuch paskened. The Menachas Chinuch argues on the Gemara, according to the Shita Lelemi. The Menachas Chinuch walked in. If you remember, we brought up this Menachas Chinuch. We used this to answer up a different kasha. Remember, we brought in the Menachas Chinuch to answer the kasha on the Ramah. Why don't we say Ato? Why don't we say that everyone has to listen to the grandfather? Rama passed the Shulchan Aruch. If your dad asks you to do something and your grandfather asks you to do something, dad wins. We had the kasha. Why don't we say that you and your father have to honor your grandfather?
Because it says kabbat, it's a vichav esimecha. That's first, that's tantamount.
No.
Everything else is built upon that.
No, what I'm saying. But if there's a practical...
You want to say... Yeah.
No, but if there's a practical thing that my father has to honor his father and I have to honor my father, so if A plus B equals C, he said we're back to honoring grandpa. So we set a teretz from based on this Menachas Chinuch. Now what? That you have to know where the chiyuv stems from. If the chiyuv to honor the grandfather stems from cover to my father, meaning the reason why I honor my grandfather is because by honoring my grandfather, I show cover to my father. If you assume like that, sad. Not like the Vilna Gaon who assumed this because b'nei banim erim kibanim. So then it doesn't make sense to skip the father. So we proved it from the Menachas Chinuch. What was the Menachas Chinuch? So he said this case: you have a stepfather and a biological mother. Who do you listen to? So the Menachas Chinuch says you listen to the mother. What happened to her? She and you have to honor the stepfather. Said the Menachas Chinuch, but over here, the chiyuv to honor the stepfather comes from the mother. So if it comes from the mother, it doesn't make sense that she should lose out comparative to her husband. So this Gemara is exactly against that. According to this Shidunayilmi, in number 4, the Gemara answered not like that. The Gemara Shaila was, what do you do with the stepfather? And the Gemara's answer was, Sha'atov imcha chayam lechwedevicha, which is exactly against the Menachas Chinuch. So it's a good akasha. I don't know. Either the Menachas The Shita Lo Yidol Mi? Well, we don't know. That's why he's the Shita Lo Yidol Mi. We don't know who he was. We just don't know. No. He was a Rishon. We're not sure exactly who he was, but he was from the Rishonic era. No, we know it was someone. There's a lot of people. We don't know exactly who the author was. We still don't know who exactly the author of the Sefer HaChinuch was. We still learn it religiously. That's a shayla of the Sefer Chinuch was. We don't know who Bahag was. I can go on and on over here. All swarm of great swarm that we study religiously. We still don't know exactly who the author was. Bahag, we don't know who the author was exactly. We assume, we estimate, we gauge. But in any case, so this sheet, the truth is, if you look in the Me'iri, it sounds a little bit, the Me'iri learned such a pshat in the Gemara, but then it's a kasha on the Menachas Chinuch. Again, it's not such a kasha, because the Menachas Chinuch did not learn the Gemara that way, because the Gemara doesn't sound like that. When it says Abba the Ima, we assume it means biological parents, not step. But that's the way the sheet learned the Gemara. Okay, so Frekta B'Yashiv in his Ha'aris on the Masechta is a good kasha, simple kasha. Frekta B'Yashiv number 7. He says, "Ktsas kosha." Mehechin echiach sheben almon hu v'loy ben almon. This is how B'Yashiv is medayik in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "I can tell from this kid that he's a ben almon." Ben almon means he lost a father. Frekta B'Yashiv, how do you know he lost a father and didn't lose a mother? I mean, it's 50-50. Could have lost a father, could have lost a mother. How do you know who? No, but how did he tell? Meaning, how did the Gemara know that this guy was a Ben Alman? I mean, what about from the story is a giveaway that he was a Ben Alman? Obviously, we know in the response he says, "I could tell that you're a Ben Alman." How could he tell he was a Ben Alman more than he was a Ben Alman? Maybe he lost. How do I know he lost his? How do I know he lost his father? Maybe he lost his mother.
It wouldn't have been a Shiloh if the father was still alive.
Why wouldn't it be a Shiloh?
Who do I serve first, my father or my mother?
The whole Shiloh wasn't a gay. I mean, this kid walked in with a kasha that was not relevant for his life because he doesn't have two active parents.
Maybe he wouldn't have gone in this school.
Say, but why is it different if he has a father? I mean, Ben Almona versus a Ben Alman, what's the difference? I mean, again, this kid doesn't have two parents. He could have not a mother, not a father. Yeah. So Rabbi Yashiv says, Pasha, Givaldic. Says Rabbi Yashiv, Hine Rashi, Pirish, Mivin, Visei, Barev, Shetech, Barbara Sasa. He quotes over here, we saw from the Taisi Riazakin. What the Tzvi Yitzchak learned, basically, you say Necha means I could tell you're swift, you're mature. Why? Because you're taking care of the family's parnasa. That must be the father died. Because if the mother would be alive, unfortunately, you wouldn't have that position. So Zakta B'Liashiv, if you go like the Tzvi Yitzchak, it's very geschmack how you know he's a ben almona and not a ben al. Very nice mahalach from Rabbi Yashiv. Let's go back to the kasha over here.
Like the other sheep.
Which ones? Yeah, it doesn't work with other. It only works with the Taisvi Azaka and Pshat. Now, let's deal with the Kasha from the Sefer Archadish. Now, the Sefer Archadish was written by a Hungarian. He died in the year 1800. Because he lived in the 18th century. This is old. On the earlier side of the Achronim. Yeah.
Clarification. So we're accepting that the Shaila that this Ben Almana was asking was something that you could only do one of them. In other words, if the father had died, he really was a Ben Almana, and the father had said, do something or don't do something, and the mother was alive is saying the opposite, that might have been the question. We're assuming
good.
That it was
so that's what, you know, that's,
the same glass of water.
And that's right, that's right. Water. So that's what we spoke about last week.
Right.
No, correct. Right. There could be a battle. That was the night of Yehuda's Raya. Why was the Gemara saying... Right? Exactly. That's the night of Yehuda's Raya. And Yehuda says, why is everyone jumping and saying, well, this kid is wasting everyone's time. Why is he wasting everyone's time? Maybe his dad before he died wrote in his will, I don't want you doing this. And his mother's now saying something else. So that was the night of Yehuda's Raya, that there's no Shiloh when he's dead and one is live. The live one automatically wins. That's exactly the night of Yehuda's Raya from this Gemara. So the Sefer Archadosh over here has a Kasha. It's a good Kasha. Why did this kid, this Ben Almona, ask Rabbi Eliezer one question, and Rabbi Yeshua gets two questions? Rabbi Yeshua got not only the original question, but he got a follow-up question. The Skar Shemahu. Rabbi Eliezer, he asked, what's the din? Rabbi Eliezer gave him an answer, and he moved on. Rabbi Yeshua, he asked Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua gave him the same terrors as Rabbi Eliezer, and then he asks him a follow-up. Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer get the same follow-up question? He had the rabbi in front of him. Right. So look at the Sefer Archadosh. So he writes like this. We have 1700s. He says, "V'yesh l'dan, amai lo shoyl miyad Rabbi Eliezer niskar shemahu." Why didn't he ask the same follow-up question to Rabbi Eliezer that he asked to Rabbi Yeshua? That makes sense. Question number one was they're both alive. Question number two is they get divorced. He asked it to Rabbi Yeshua. He didn't ask to Rabbi Eliezer. So he answered like this: "Ubashkof rishena amarti l'talmidim." He says, "My original thought when I was saying shir, I answered like this, based on the fact that what the Rabbi Eliezer shamutihi. When the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer means Rabbi Eliezer shamutihi. Who's he? He was the Talmud of Beis Sham." Okay. Last Mishnah Gittin. This is what Gedolim think. They have a whole shas everywhere in their brain, and they just process it when they need to figure something out. That's where Moshe, if you go through Moshe's Shuvah, you see it was everything was there, and it just decompartmentalizes where it goes. So there's a Gemara at the end of Maseches Gittin. The Gemara is a machlokes in the Mishnah. Under what premises are you allowed to divorce your wife? So Beis Shammai has the most extreme opinion. Can only divorce your wife if she's mizana. The only time you ever allowed to divorce your wife. So this Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. Okay, so what? So Zaktis or Chodesh, he said, I don't understand. According to Beis Shammai, there's no way anytime a couple is divorced, it means that the woman was Mizana. The woman was Mizana. I don't have to be Mechaber anymore. She didn't have Eira. This is just a Gevaldik heck of a Shas. So therefore, he said, Rabbi Eliezer, it wasn't the gate to ask him the Shaila. This Kasha, of course, they're going to not be a Shaila. Because we're assuming, and this is a big assumption, that there's no Dinti Mechaber your parents that are Rishoyim. And since she was Mizana, she's obviously Russia. Yeah, okay, good. We'll have to get to that.
What about
Mechal Shabbos? Right. But since, this is Hischap. Hischap is that according to Beis Shammai, the only divorce cases you'll hear of a lady is Mizana. So he didn't waste his time asking Rabbi Eliezer. He knew what Rabbi Eliezer was going to say. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if there's a divorce, means she was Mizana. If she's Mizana, she is considered an Avarian. If she's an Avarian, there's no keeper of aim. But Rabbi Yeshua, at least Rabbi Yeshua was negated to ask. Rabbi Yeshua didn't believe. But Rabbi Yeshua believed you can divorce for other reasons. That's why he skipped Rabbi Eliezer and he went to Rabbi Yeshua.
So don't show that he's
a yeah, the kid's really this kid's a smart kid, right? So he writes over here, the Beis Shammai came along. Oh, you gorish el imkei motza bodova erva imkei im boy ibn eskarisha. There was no Shiloh, kivin dal korchel sinso ve'ino isem ma'isa amcho. She's no longer living her Jewish life, so she doesn't get covered. Ubalav yochi ein mechuyv lechavdoi. He has no chiyuv to honor her. So therefore, it wasn't a Shiloh to Rabbi Eliezer. It was only a Shiloh to Rabbi Yeshua. Now, there's a couple of problems with this mahal. A couple of problems. Problem number one is that this is a very big machlokes Rishonim. Is it so partial that if someone has a parent who doesn't, let's say a person has a parent who's not religious, so you don't have to honor them?
The difference between Tinik Shenishba and somebody that
doing okay, all right. So I didn't get to Tinik Shenishba yet. So we discussed Tinik Shenishba at length on Tuesday night so right. That you can listen to the Gedarm of Tinik Shenishba, which is not simple by any stretch of the imagination. Very complicated to figure out who's a Tinik Shenishba. But let's just talk Shtamaze. Let's say they're not from. They're not a Tinik Shenishba. They went off the Derech. Would there be a chiv to not honor his parents who go off the Derech?
You mean their mom? They were on the Derech?
Yeah, they went off. They're not so from. They're not so interested in being religious.
They knew.
Yeah, they're not a Tinik Shenishba. So if we take a look over here, so let's see. If you look in the Torah number 9, again, Bli Nedar, we'll get into this more as we get into the Sugya of Kivud Aleihem. But the Torah brings down the Rambam. He writes, number 9, Kasav Rambam, Mamzer Chayiv B'Chayit Aviv U'Moiro. A Mamzer has to honor his parents, his father and his mother, and fear them. Afa Pisha Hu Potter Amak Kasav Kedalasik. Even though he's taka allowed to curse them, he's allowed to hit them. Achi has a tshuva until they do tshuva for what they did. Meaning, if he's a mamzer, I mean, someone was not allowed to live with somebody. Someone did an avera. So zakti Rambam, he still has to honor them. He still has to fear them, even though he's potter if he hits them or if he curses them. Afilu ha'yaviv rasha ubal averus. Even if his father's a rasha and he does averus, mechabdoi umisyarei mimeni. You still have to show cover.
Father, not a mother.
Oh, yeah, and be the same. Be the same. Yeah, be the same. But he, then the Torah says, "Venirily, no." Given shu rasha einay chayiv bichvoidoi. So the Torah argues on the Rambam. According to the Rambam, your father could be the biggest rasha merusha. You still have to honor him. This is the shaila comes up now with a lot of contemporary rabbanim, children that get their father's abusive. I'm not talking about sexual abuse. I'm not talking, you know, physically abusive, and the kids get are impacted by it. So they grow up, they say, I don't have to honor my father. He hit me. He wasn't allowed to hit me. I don't have to honor. Not so posh. It's not so posh at all. But again, I'm not getting into all the nitty gritty details over here, but it's definitely not so posh just because he did one thing wrong, right? Even we spoke
also
about
also
this.
Depends if he hit you.
Right. We spoke about versus 50 years we spoke ago, about parents hitting their children. We had that share a few months ago about parents hitting their children. Obviously, but again, two wrongs don't make it right. Just because the father didn't do the right thing doesn't mean now you're potter. So this is a machlokes rishayim. According to the Torah, he holds, now, once the father is deemed a Rasha, you don't have to honor him anymore. This is a Gemara at the end of Bava Kama. Yeah, that's also a good question. What makes
it?
Oh, that's very good. That's what I want to get to. Right? We saw clearly that even the Rambam, that there's a point where you do tshuva. Right? So that's why I have a kasha on this whole shot of the Aruch Hadash. Well, the Aruch Hadash is Hopshat, that what? Well, if the if they got divorced, it must be the mother was Mizana. So if the mother was Mizana, she did an Aveira. So if she did an Aveira, there's no Shah, they don't have to honor. Well, first of all, that's Machlokes Rambam and Tor. That's A. And B, maybe she did Tshuva. How you know she didn't do Tshuva? She was Mizana 20 years ago, and now she regrets it. And now she wants a cup of water.
She was Mizana when she was married to the husband?
Yeah.
Or she just was Mizana?
No, she was Mizana with the husband. Now they get divorced. And now this kid has a Shiloh. Who does he listen to? So Zok to Aruch Hadash, Nishkin Shiloh. If there's a divorce, there must be she was Mizana, because Beis Shammai holds you only divorce under that premise. So therefore, he's saying that if there's a divorce, it must be she was Mizana. If she is Mizana, you don't have to honor her. Now, first of all, that's Machlokes Torn Rambam. And B, maybe she did tshuva. All Rishonim agree that if mom does tshuva, she's back to, in the world of Kippah. So who told you that this case, that it was Niskasha, you're assuming Niskasha means the minute after the divorce, and she still held she did nothing wrong, and then she asks for the cup of water. Maybe it was 2 months afterwards, and she realized she made a mistake, and she did tshuva, and now she wants a cup of water. It doesn't say it in the Gemara. That's the kasha on this mahalak. It's a cute mahalak. It's a nice lomdish goinish dikateretz. Like a kid in school would give this, his rebbe would give him a good reward. But it's still flawed on a couple of levels. A, you have a machlokes rishonim, and B, the Ben Yehuda. I found the Ben Yehuda points this out. I was happy to find. If you look at number 10, the Ben Yehuda says yesh l'tchoyis. This whole pshat is not totally. Even according to the Torah, again, it's Machlokes Rambam and Torah. According to the Rambam, you still would have to honor your mother even if she was Mizana. So this Hopshat doesn't get off the ground according to the Rambam. But let's say you hold like the Torah that once the mother's Mizana, this Taka no longer achieved to Mechabeder, Frekta Ben Yehuda. How do you know the mother didn't do Tshuva over here? Even the Torah agrees, right, that if the mother does Tshuva, Avad you have to honor. So what? I guess he'll answer that the stimus of the case is whether she did or didn't do tshuva. But I would just, you know, just for the point of disagreeing, it's not muchach on the story either way. So I'm making a kibbutz on the story that she did tshuva. So this first teretz to why Rabbi Yeshua got the question, and Rabbi Eliezer is a kishmak of teretz. You got to appreciate the goyness of the teretz, but it's not muchach 100%. Then he brings down his second pshat, number 11, in the Sefer Ochadosh. He brings the second teretz that many of you were already mechavin to. He says the second teretz is pasha. He says, about pshat. The pasha the pshat, nothing fancy, is why the reason why he didn't have to follow up with Rabbi Eliezer because Rabbi Eliezer gave him the answer, because Rabbi Eliezer gave him a lumdus. Rabbi Eliezer didn't just tell him yes, no. He didn't answer like a rabbi, yes, no. He told him a lumdus. He said a svara. What was the svara? So once the Ben Almana heard the svara, he didn't have to ask him this karsha. He knew the answer. Because once you told me it's because of Atav Imcha, so I'll figure it out on my own. Then it's Gash, it's not true. So there was no need for the follow-up question because the rabbi gave him the answer with the first answer. Oh, but when he got to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua never gave him a lumdus. Rabbi Yeshua just told him, he didn't give him a lumdus. He just told him yes. He didn't tell him.
So satisfied with the first answer. Why
but that's not Mizrei Kasha. Why? So the Begin Yada talks about that.
Rashi says he's not
no. No, Rashi says, hey, Shiv, like, how do you learn that? Does that mean the same outcome or the same exact wording with the lumdus? And I agree with you. That's a good diak in Rashi. That whether or not this chat works with Rashi depends how you learn Rashi. When Rashi says he answered him like he answered Rabbi Yeshua, like Rabbi Eliezer answered, does that mean with the lumdus or just the answer? The answer was dad wins. Okay, good. So then you have to work it out. I'm not saying it's muchach, but this pshat, it depends on how you read the Rashi.
Like he said,
if
Rabbi Eliezer gave him the
lumdus,
he really doesn't have a reason to go to the next
person. But Rabbi Eliezer did give him the lumdus. He told him, then he said, thank you very much, I'm going to Rabbi Yeshua. And he went to Rabbi Yeshua and he asked Rabbi Yeshua the same question, and Rabbi Yeshua answered him the same way he answered, Rabbi Eliezer answered him. What does that mean? So this pshat's learning, he just told him the fact.
Yes, or did I...
That's right. Right, did he just give him the fact, like a good rabbi answers a shiloh, or he answered like a lumdus? So he wants to suggest that the Rabbi Yeshua didn't give him a lumdus answer. He just told him the fact. So therefore, he followed up with the question. What was the follow up? He says, he just told him that goes first. That's why the kid followed up with the question. He wasn't sure. Now that Rabbi Yeshua just gave me the final psach, he didn't give me a reason, maybe Rabbi Yeshua has a different svar. Now, what would Rabbi Yeshua's svar be? I was just thinking about this. What would Rabbi Yeshua's svar be? I mean, this kid doesn't understand why Rabbi Yeshua told him dad goes first. If it's because of atav imcha chayiv b'choy levicha, then his karsha is posh. But this kid wasn't sure, right? So that's why he asked Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua gave him this funny response. What would be the other tzad, why dad would go before mom, if not because of atav imcha? What else would he think? I mean, the Sefer is learning that this kid wasn't sure. That's why he followed up with a follow-up question. Because he wasn't sure, because he never got a lumdus. He only got an answer. But what was this kid thinking? Like,
because the father's dead.
No. Again, he was asking two live parents. He came to Rabbi Yeshua and said, I have two live parents. Yeah.
What do you mean?
He was asking him. No.
What are we talking about?
The Ben Almana was asking Rabbi Yeshua, listen, I have a shayla. Parent, mom asks you for water, dad asks you for water, what do you do? So Rabbi Yeshua answered him back, dad goes first. And the kid thinks to himself, dad goes first. Why does dad go first? Does dad go first because of Atav Imcha Chayim B'Chay Levicha? Then I have no reason to ask you about divorce. Or maybe there's another reason why dad goes first. And maybe that reason might even mean a gay tennis garish. What was that other reason?
No, but the father's dead.
He doesn't, the shayl didn't know that. The Shail wasn't asking for himself. He was asking the Shail.
Hypothetically.
He's saying, he wasn't saying about my personal life.
I know somebody.
So I was thinking maybe the Pshat is, like we saw a couple of weeks ago, we had this Tzad, Kasha, Reb Zilberstein had a Kasha. Why doesn't dad go first just because he's Muktash? Remember we had this Kasha, Reb Zilberstein, in fact, the Kasha. Dad should go first because he's Muktash. He has more mitzvahs. He's holier than mom. And he rejected that. So I was thinking maybe that's what this kid was thinking. This kid was clearing, does dad go first because of Atav Imcha Chayav Mechoy Levicha?
Which is
Rabbi Eliezer's answer, which would then be simple, the answer to divorce. Well, maybe no, maybe dad goes first for a different reason. Maybe dad goes first because he's muktish. And if that would be the reason, even after they get divorced, dad would still go first. He's still going to be holier even after divorce. So this kid was talking a big lamdin. This kid couldn't understand what Rabbi Yeshua wanted. Was Rabbi Yeshua saying the lam is like Rabbi Eliezer because of atav imcha? So therefore, niskarisha takash name shav. But if the reason why dad goes before mom is because dad is muktish, he's holier. So even after divorce, that retains that holiness.
That's why he was able to ask Rabbi Yeshua, because he never asked him about the Grisha, because he knew what the answer
exactly.
would be. He never
that's
actually
right.
asked him.
That's right. That's right. Because he gave away. That's right. Answer. That's the answer.
But he wanted to know.
Right. Could be.
Would this Gemara be any different?
He wanted to know, is there possibly another way of learning the sugya? I mean, this kid was a big lamb, and he wanted to know, is there another way to prove or another way to understand why dad goes before mom? So Rabbi Eliezer's answer was because after them. Maybe there's another cook. Maybe Muktush is a Svara. And if Muktush is the Svara, it would be true even after Gerushin. So this kid was talking a big one.
Would this Gemara be any different if it didn't start off by saying Ben Almana?
You know, no. It just right? gives us the background to the story. But right. The Shaila is still a good Shaila, right? The Shaila itself is still a good question. Okay. So now we really got to deal with the biggest Shaila on the whole Sugya is. Lamais, at the end of the day, what do you do with the case of Nisgarsha? The Gemara said Nisgarsha. What do you do? So the Gemara gave some funny answer, something with chickens. Lamaisa, what do you do? What do you do with such a case? If you look at the Beis Yosef, he writes in number 12. He says, "V'harif hishmit ha'seifa de brais." The Rif doesn't even discuss the case of divorce. The Rif only brings down half of our Gemara. He brings down the Gemara when dad asks you for something and mom asks you for something, and the Gemara says dad goes before mom. And then the Rif stops. He doesn't even talk about the case when they get divorced. He doesn't even address it. Not only the Rif, but the Rambam, Rif Hishman, I saved the Brisa. The Gamma Rambam, Lahiskadinza. And the Rambam also doesn't discuss what happens when they get divorced. Why not? Why didn't these Rishonim feel the urge to let us know what do you do in a case of divorce? So says the Beis Yosef, they didn't need to. Vahatam Mishum. The Medina de Resha Mashma Diav Time Nesha Uvi Machaim Lechay Aviv Mashma Halava Achi Kavitch Neim Shav Ule Eizem Mehem Sheyir Tzayak. Says the Beis Yosef, the Rif and the Rambam felt that it was unnecessary to write it. Why? Once you learn the beginning of the Gemara and you know that there's a Svara Atav Imcha Chayav Bechoy Levicha, so you automatically can deduce on your own that when they get divorced, what happens? They're equal. Equal means what? What does equal mean? Equal means she doesn't have to honor him. But what do you do, Lamaisa? Says the Beis Yosef, whatever you want. It's a free-for-all. Mashi Yitzha, whatever you want. Whatever you want as a child. Very good. So we're going to talk about that in a second. Because when the Gemara made that comment, that Gemara was just being, that was a humor. That was a comical answer. It wasn't halacha l'maisa. The halacha l'maisa, the answer is they're both equal. And they're both equal. You as a child do whatever you want. You decide.
The mother or the father. And
kid rules. Kid does whatever he has to do. That's correct. So that's because the Gemara, the Beis Yosef thought that whole answer was just comical and not halachic. But halacha, we have a different answer.
Meaning that it was so obvious that you could do what you want, I'm going to give you a...
Right, I'm just going to, you know, you're wasting my time, I'm going to, you know... You
had a sense of humor.
Right, exactly, you had a good sense of humor, and that was his answer back.
But why couldn't that have been
taught? Good, we'll see. We'll see it. We'll see. Rabbi Yerucham learns like that. Very good. That's exactly Rabbi Yerucham. Next line in the Beis Yosef. Avo Rabbi Yerucham Kasav. We're in the middle of number 12. Says Rabbi Yerucham, in the Skashem Yoviv, Shneim Shavim, V'nosim Mayim B'sefel. He put the water in the pitcher. He told him, Mom, Dad, knock yourself out. You cannot give one before the other.
Not doing any keeper on anybody.
Good. So this is what we have to talk about. This is what we're going to have to get to. So this is a very important machlokes rishonim. The Beis Yosef holds that once you can't get both, it's it.
I'm honoring you both. I'm not
doing
one
of them. So now if... Oh, very good. So if everyone remembers, last week we had a Chazanish. We had a Chazanish last week. What did the Chazanish say last week? Chazanish said, if mom, when they're both married, forget divorce, they're both married, dad asks you to do something and mom asks you not to do something. The opposite. Not just I want, I don't want. We'll see Blinad the next week, a Gavaldik, a Shaila, to Zilberstein, in real Shailas. And this is, we learned this from Lomdas. But this stuff comes up in people's lives. We're going to talk about a case next week, Blinad, where a divorced couple, the mother's side is making a chasana. The mother wants her son to come. The father forbade the son to go to the chasana. Forbade him. She can't go.
What's the havmi that you have to your father?
Oh, because we'll see in that case, the father has a reason why he doesn't want. Because he blames his divorce on the mother's side of the family. No. Covet aviv. No. This covet, yeah. Covet aviv works that the father, the father can't just boss around his children. Or if there's a reason, right? There's something that I'm going to gain out of this here. If this son goes to the wedding, it's Kilo, he's admitting. We'll talk about it Blinad more next week. But the point is that Chazanish is very relevant. The Chazanish said that when one parent says do and one parent says don't do, the Chazanish said you go Sheval Tas. So L'chayra.
That's also listen.
Oh, good. We'll have to get to that. How does that work? But let's deal with this Machloikis Rishonim for a second. We have a Machloikis Beis Yosef and Rabbi Yerucham. What do you do in a case of divorce? The Beis Yosef says, kid chooses what he wants. Rabbi Yerucham says, no. You can't, under any circumstance, give one precedent one over the other because that's a slight to the other. So now, if you take a look in the end of the Beis Yosef,
you mechaber neither. You never listen to
anything. No. You mechaber both. You put in the middle, and everyone kill each other. Now, what happens when you can't? Yeah, let them kill each other. So look at the end of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says, yeah. Very economic. Good. This is all talking about. We'll see in a second in Meiri. This is all talking about in a strange situation. We have both mom and dad at the same room in the same table. Which is not so common.
And only one cup of water.
Not that only one.
There are two cups. Bring them both out and put them out.
That's what you do. It's a Shaila Kedima.
Talking about for months about.
Yeah.
The chicken soup, for instance.
We already established that,
that you have to cover your father first.
No, but the question is over here. They're divorced.
No, but they're divorced.
Now, I have no idea if this happened, but again, let's say you have number. You have a situation.
The love if the divorce is because she's Mazana, so then then you definitely give it to your father.
Yeah, that was his kiddush. But let's assume, let's say, right? Let's say the divorced couple is together in a room and they're not killing each other. Okay, whatever. So now you have the shiloh. So according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, you can't give kedima one over the other. According to the Beis Yosef, you could do whatever you want. If you like your dad better, you give your dad first. If you like your mom better, you give mom. And you're not doing anything wrong. But look at the end of the Beis Yosef. He says, he quotes this Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says, "Ve'einu niri came a divrei Rashi." I don't think Rashi holds like this Rabbeinu Yerucham. What does he see from Rashi? What does he see from Rashi? What does the Beis Yosef see from Rashi that made him think Rashi is on his side, not on Rabbeinu Yerucham's side? Again, according to the Beis Yosef, when they're divorced, you can choose whatever you want. While according to Ben Yeruchim, you absolutely cannot do that. You have to make it as equal as possible. Says the Beis Yosef, Rashi is on my side. What did you see from Rashi that puts Rashi on his side? What does Rashi say that's such a giveaway? So if you take a look at the Marshal and the Yamshul Shloima, he's not going to bother with this kash. He says, where did the Beis Yosef see that Rashi is against Ben Yeruchim? Right. Again, no. Rashi holds... Beis Yosef holds, you get to pick. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, you can't pick. And Beis Yosef says, Rashi's on my side. That you get to pick. Not like Rabbeinu Yerucham says, you can't pick. So the question is, what did you see from Rashi? What Rashi, and I gave you all the Rashis on number two. What did you see in any of those Rashis that lead you to conclude that?
That you can pick.
That you can pick, right. That you could pick. Meaning you're allowed to pick. Yeah, I guess. So says the Marshal.
I have a quote of the...
Good. Right. All it says is by they get divorced, the mother doesn't have to honor the father. Then he says later on, the covet of both of them are on you. That is true. Beis Yosef also holds the covet on both of them are on you. It's just the Beis Yosef holds, I can do whichever one I want.
Shava means they're equal.
Yes.
The only reason why they were ever not equal
is because they were married.
Married is because correct. The mother had honor the father.
Correct.
Once that's gone, they're back to equal status.
Now, what does equal status mean? So, Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's what Beis Yosef says. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, no, equal status means equal. You put it in the middle of the table. So, says the Marshal, what tipped off the Beis Yosef thinking that Rashi is on his side? He says, I don't get it. Well, because the Gemara gave this joking answer. Because if you learn the Gemara Kipshutai, the Gemara reads better according to Rabbeinu Yerucham. Because what does the Gemara answer? Oh, put it between them and let them kill each other. That's like what Rabbeinu Yerucham said. That was Rabbeinu Yerucham's whole answer. Rabbeinu Yerucham's whole answer is you can't give one more than the other. You got to put it in the middle. So maybe that's where Rashi holds, but he says it's not true. Why? He says, Lo nihiru appears Rashi. Shebizchoik heshiv el ma'ash om v'kakei lehem. V'chen hetel ma'im b'sefo. Aval ikir adin heshivu k'roish. Tzarech litim l'shneim k'achas. He says, maybe there was a joke over there. The joke was that it was a joke, but the joke has halachic seriousness to it. Meaning you're learning that the whole thing was a joke and throw out the whole statement. No, it was a joking halachic ruling that you give it to them equally, like Rabbeinu Yerucham. So he says, Umash appears kovish name shavim. Ayotami Rashi said the words that the kovish name is equal. Ain pirusha shiyoch lahaktim. Da'at rabbi mashvish name shavim. Va'osu loy lahaktim le'echot. So says the Beis Yosef, it says that Marshal, if anything, the Lashon of Rashi sounds like Rabbeinu Yerucham. That's right. And therefore the Marshal, because of this, the Marshal actually passes like Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Marshal passes Allah Chomais like Rabbeinu Yerucham because he thinks Rashi holds like Rabbeinu Yerucham. The exact opposite of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef said that Rashi is on his side. Says the Marshal, no, I think Rashi is on my side.
What's the reason why the Beis Yosef said that Rashi supports
him? We don't know. That's the Marshal's question. He says he doesn't see it in Rashi. He doesn't see where you see in Rashi that Rashi is more in line with the Beis Yosef than he is with Rabbeinu Yerucham. And therefore, the Marshal disagrees, and the Marshal Taka holds like Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, just to round it out, we have to stop. Take a look at 15 for a second. Shulchan Aruch says the Mechaber, Aviv Amul Ashkeni Mayim V'imay Mer, Ashkeni Mayim, Meniach V'oisik B'choyt Aviv. That's easy. V'imhi Migureshes Shesme Aviv, Shneim Shavim, V'eze Mehem Sheyirtze Yaktim. That's the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef passes the way he rules in Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch does not pass him like Rabbeinu Yerucham. Now, Blinedel, I guess next week we'll have to finish off with this Meiri. Meiri has a third mahalach how to deal with this. He says, "Whoever asks first," which is going to get into a whole slew of questions. No, this is it. This is the whole mechaber. End the story. So we pass him not like Rabbeinu Yerucham, and we seemingly pass him like the Beis Yosef. Yeah, we'll get to Blinedel next week. Blinedel next week we'll deal with that. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't the Shulchan Aruch go together with the Beis Yosef?
It is.
I'm saying it's the same guy.
That's what I'm showing. Same stock, same person.
Yeah. I mean, why would you say?